Straight now. It's not Chicago either.
No, that's later.
They all came after.
Oh, golly, I can't. It's awful hard to think of a name right off the top of your head. Joe Gallagher. No, he never played much, though, did he? Gallagher.
No. Wait a minute. Gallagher came in there, too. Yeah, he played a little bit out there.
Yeah, I don't remember when he was there. But
I think he was a year in 1940.
Could have been.
See, because I played against Gallagher in the minors, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he was
wait a minute. I was going to say Bob Seeds, but no, I think he was at Newark.
Seeds was about that time, but I think he was just up and down at that point, wasn't he? He wasn't there for long.
Yeah, because the pitchers was Ruffing, Gomez, Murphy, Chandler.
Was it Marius Russo, or he was there later, I guess? Atlee Donald, maybe, at that time?
Atlee Donald came, I think, the following year.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I played against Atlee in the minors too. Brewer played against him in the minors too. Oh, well, that's beside the point anyway.
Well, your reputation, the least from what I know about the game and I follow it closely, you had a reputation as being, if not the best, smartest base runner around. You were in the top two or three.
You hit it on the head, because we got a guy, Craig Wright, who's a Sanford matrician, and here about 5-6 years ago, he said percentage wise, you were listed in a seventh or eighth up to date. And I look at him as a forget it. But I know this much. Have you read a book by name of Shatskin or somebody that came out a couple years ago?
What's the name of the book, you know, right off?
Ballplayers.
I've got that book. I didn't even think to look you up in that, but I've got the book, yeah.
I'll tell you, if you got that book, there's somebody put this damn thing in that I was a better base runner stealer than Case and an elusive base dealer. Now, whoever come over with elusive, I can't understand whether it was Bert Hawkins or I think it might have been Rick Farrell. Because a couple years ago in Port Charlotte, I walked away to answer a telephone call, and there were two kids that worked in the ticket office. One was the assistant general manager. And while they were there talking, they were asking, a couple scouts asked Rick Farrell, what kind of ball player was John? He said, let me tell you something. He was the fastest guy in the majors and the best base stealer, better than George Case.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, let me tell you, he could go get a ball. And I did it also in Louisville. But the best, when I came up in 1939, the first year I was up there in Detroit, I got walked, I think, four or five times in the leading off. And Ty Cobb came into our clubhouse uninvited. And you know, everybody hated Ty Cobb.
Oh, yeah.
He walked in with a couple of guys and came straight to my locker. He said, son, are you from Georgia? Because I had sort of a southern accent, Polish accent mixed in with some people that I lived with the South.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, sir. And I didn't even know it was Ty Cobb. Let's put it that way. You know, what the hell, first trip in, you never see the guy.
Oh, sure.
So it turns out that he said, let me tell you something. I haven't seen anybody play the center field as you have today. And he said, you could fly. You have a motor in your advantage. I'm looking, what the hell is this guy? Who is it? When he left that clubhouse, Bucky Harris, Myers, West, and some of the Kelly did. Pete Appleton, who was from New Jersey, said, did you know who that guy was? No. Who is he? There's a Ty Cobb. But the best one happened in Chicago. Jimmy Dykes is managing. We have to come through their dugout at third base. We all dressed under the same place in that area. And I walk in, and Jimmy Dykes says, hey, Bush, come over and autograph this program for this man. And he's sitting on the ice cake where they got ice underneath and getting the water cooled off. And I get it from there. I just autograph and I see this guy. I don't know who the hell he is. And over on the right side of the dugout, and this is the damn man, he got his hat drawn over his eyes. And, you know, you hear about Judge Landis and all that stuff.
Sure.
The man calls me and says, hey, son, come over here. I come over there. I said, yes, sir. He said, do you know that man? What they want you to do? He said, well, I just signed an autograph for him. He said, do you know who that man is? No. I said, okay, fine, thank you. And go back to the dugout. I go back there, the guys jump at me again and say, hey, what did the commissioner want?
Oh, boy.
I said, he asked me, did I know that guy? I don't know. Who's the other guy? Who's this Al Capone?
Oh, no.
Out there, I got a guy that wrote Jackie Robinson's book. He's out there in San Francisco. And out there, I have more people here, newspaper men, say, hey, let me write a book on you. You know, like you and I are talking now.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hell, we'll sell more books than you can shake a stick. I said, look, let me tell you something. I don't have to anybody that I can knock or talk about sex. That's what the hell sells those damn books. Every time I get one, you know, you think you got something in there, but forget it.
You got to say something bad about somebody, it seems. And there's no point in that.
That's right.
You know, what the hell? If you can't say something nice, why even bother?
You're right, because I say this. I've always been my life that way. We've been married. It's going to be 52 years October 2nd. My wife had a stroke going on 31 years ago. They gave her 3 to 5 years to live. And I said, look, number one is me. I could replace Ted Williams. I could replace Joe Burke as general manager on the field. And I've had 4 years ago, I had four or five offers from clubs, major league clubs. They were in the East, with the exception of Kansas City. I could always go back with Joe Burke because it was like family. But it was Baltimore, Boston, New York, and the Mets. They said, you're our kind of person. We want you to in our organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'll take a rain check. We lived in Arlington, Virginia for 25 years. We're starting our 21st year living in Arlington, Texas, out of 52 years.
Wow.
Now, that's ironic.
Yes, it is.
I don't care what they say. I told Pauline, I said, let's pick up somewhere, find another Arlington. Maybe we get a ball club, another Arlington.
I don't know of any other Arlingtons, but I guess there's somewhere out somewhere.
Yeah, you're right, but there's a lot of Arlingtons all over the country. But you know another thing. What's nice about it, I have, like my wife, she starts addressing Christmas cards. Yeah, first week in November.
Wow.
And my name and all the addresses and all. And this year, we sent out, I think, about 410 Christmas cards.
Oh, boy.
We used to send out 500, 600 at the time. But the best one, this shows you what it's like. Lefty Gomez played for Washington for a little while. I was down the ball club at the time. But for some reason, we hit it off pretty good. And then he used to work for Wilson people, and they have my autograph. And it turns out, he died a couple of years ago.
Right.
His wife was an actress on stage or something. And it turns out, we still get a Christmas card from her.
Oh, that's nice.
And that is ironic. And you know the Christmas cards that come from, they used to come from him? When he was a kid with his dog and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this last Christmas card we got from her this past Christmas, on the front cover, it's got him pitching with his leg up in the air. And inside is a picture of her. And it says, the first time I took June to a ball game and I got beat by somebody, she said, that's all right, Lefty, you go out there tomorrow and beat him. And then, after she married him, she got to sit with the wife. At this time, they played Detroit, and Derringer came up, and he got a double to beat him. And no more, they got to sit down at the table. He says, Lefty, where the dickens are you going to learn how to pitch to Derringer? You know he's a low ball hitter. You're supposed to roll him up the letters. He says, well, I think I liked it better when she didn't know what baseball.
Yeah.
Now, that's his daughter that puts these things out, and June O'Day was the name that's his wife. She's still pretty as ever.
Here
3 years ago in Dallas, and it's at a baseball meeting that they had, and it's amazing. But this is nice when you get, well, birthday cards, for instance. May 27th, I got 23 cards.
Oh, that's nice.
Home from east, west, north, Canada, any place. And then I got 3 telephone calls, one from Key West, one from Port Charlotte, and the other one from Chattanooga.
Well, that's good. It's really nice to be remembered. You mentioned autographs. Do you still get autograph requests?
Yes, I do plenty.
Do you really?
Anywhere from, there's one guy, Berlin, out in California, out there. I think he's the best now. Instead of autographs, he wants me to, what I'm telling you a lot. And it's been the fourth time now. didn't even put his address on it. But I took a look at it. I said, it comes from California. But he put his name down there. But he's got a self-addressed envelope. I told my wife, throw that damn thing away. I'm not going to be giving him. He may be writing a book or anything else. And he said, I'm 56 years old. My mother died, and I start collecting again. And, you know, you find these guys that get all that information on you. So, to me, because I belong to the Ball Players Association in St. Pete and stuff like that, so...
Well, it can be, you know, there's nothing wrong with asking for an autograph, but abusing it is not right.
Well, I'd rather do it for nothing because the people, you know, the kids or anything else like now over here, Nolan Ryan, he gives them out for nothing. And, hell, there's a line out here. They know he works out from 9 o'clock to 10:30, and, hell, they've got to be 100 people out there, and he stops an autograph.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? He made a statement this spring, somebody put in the paper. He signed 90,000 items at $20 a piece that his agents got it for him.
Holy mackerel.
You know how much that money that is? $1,800,000.
That's hard to imagine.
And he owns 2 banks, 3 ranches. But he's one guy down to earth. This year I got him by accident because there were some people wanted his autograph. And these dear friends for a long time. So I got picked up 4 balls from Joe McElwain, and I caught him just in time when he was through finished eating, and he was going to have a minute before a newspaper man came in there. So he said, what do you want? And he said, how much do you sell these balls for? I said, well, Nolan, I sell them for $250. He said, I want half. I said, yeah, but I put Uncle John on them. He said, forget it. So I gave them out to some people because one woman, her husband worked with my wife, and he died 2 years ago. She had a grandson graduating from Navy.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave her a ball. I said, give it to that grandson of yours. And another woman, years ago, she's the only one in the family that's got any grandchildren. 2 brothers, 2 other sisters, no kids. They've been married for a while. And she married a 6'5" guy. And she's about 5'11 and a half. So she's got 2 boys now, 4 and 6. So I send them one of those autograph balls this year, and boy, they tickled them pink.
Boy, I bet it did.
Well, because after all, she did me a favor, because she told me, she said, don't you take your Social Security at 65. You know what you're going to do? You're going to get all your withholding Social Security back because you're over 65. She says, and then you get a 3% every year, and then you take it out when you're 70. And I'll tell you, today, I got that slip on income tax this year. I got $15,126 from Social Security.
Oh, gee whiz.
And my wife gets half, and she's got a $12,000 pension from the government, civil service. So I said, what the hell do you do? You got to pay on half of the income tax of the Social Security. And people say, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? My wife says, look, we earn this money. We're going to pay some of it to the government. And we pay them like $11,000, $12,000 a year. I don't mind.
Because, yeah.
I said, as long as I got my health, they can go to hell.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's the government's doing us a service. We can at least help them out a little bit by paying what we owe.
Sure. Because I figure this way, I'm thankful. And you know what?
Huh.
I've never owned a house with paid rent all that time.
No kidding.
For 25 years we lived in Arlington, the most rent we paid was $91.50 the last year we were there. We went in there at $78.50 a month. Basement, first floor, 2 bedrooms, all utilities paid. I didn't even have to cut the grass.
Wow.
And that went out for 25 years. Then we come here, I start out with $235. Now we're paying $565. And I got a 3-bedroom apartment here. And I haven't had a raise in our rent for the last 5 years.
Gee,
so these people are glad that they got you.
A good tenant is hard to find. I've got some friends who own apartments, and a good tenant is a rarity. So they ought to take care of you guys that are good ones.
Well, you know what happened, too? When I was with the Washington Senators, we didn't have a pension plan. Mr. Johnson, Mr. Lemon. Mr. Lemon, Johnson gave me 10 stocks, 11 altogether, because when President Kennedy was around, you know, they came out with CompStat.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the hell the stocks were because, after all, I sold mutual funds one time. And so CompStat came out, and you couldn't own more than 50 shares. Everybody 50 shares. After 6 months, you could sell them. Well, Mr. Johnson said, you get Pauline's Social Security, your Social Security. And after 6 months, we got $5,200. Because it went from $20 to $72 a share.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Johnson was a broker, so he took that on the chair. And, you know, CompSat today is worth a hell of a lot of money.
Oh, it's worth a ton. Gee whiz. Yeah.
And he turned around, he gave us Marriott, a couple banks, and stuff like that. That's all the companies are in the Washington area. And hell, those 10 stocks, I had three of them that the Jews took away from me. The corporate raiders, I should say. But I never lost any money because it didn't cost me, didn't lose any money because it didn't cost me a penny.
Right.
But I got enough of those people that took care of me, too. But the other seven stocks that we got, Mr. Johnson told me, he says, look, that's your pension. So we got 4,300 shares of Marriott. You know, for $18 or $17 now. But that split 5-for-1 when you come right down to it. The banks the same way. They're all doing very well. So we hold on to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't need it.
And well, that's nice to be in a situation.
I live in Stamford, Connecticut. They have no children. And she's a freelance writer. And Lord's sake, she's making a six-figure sale.
Well, her husband great.
Works for Perlman. He's a six-figure man. Got a degree in economics, and he works with Perlman. And Revlon is supposed to go on the market. He just, they got it cleared from the security people that they can go sell 20% of Revlon on a big board.
Mm-hmm.
But who was the company? Solomon Brothers or somebody that did all that stuff.
Well, it's big business, and I don't understand big business, but...
Well, I know corporate raiders. That's what we got here. We got corporate raiders, got this ball club. And I saw how Mr. Gaylord lost out on this thing on account of Eisenhardt over in Chicago and Selig over in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't let him go have it because he had a TV station. And what happened, what did they do? They went to WGN, and now they're crying. They don't want to go in the Western Zone because their people won't get their money.
Yeah, life's tough, huh?
Sure.
That's ridiculous.
Well,
they're going to have to, though. I don't think see how they can play the National League without realignment.
They got to play it. That's right. Same way like us here. I made a suggestion to some people. Why don't they just turn around and split the East in half and the West in half and play like they did years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Like the minors, the American Association, International, Pacific Coast League, and go from there.
That's simple, and
that's too simple for them.
Yeah, they're not going to ever do that.
Well, see, another thing that happened out here, they're building the ballpark where I suggested for them 4 years ago. Everybody was looking around, and they said, that damn Well-Eye knows everything. And the people will come up, and he said, if you want to know anything, that's that Well-Eye, that Pollock. And just like now, another thing, General Posada gave me an unlisted number with the National Weather. I'm home, they call me at the groundskeeper. They can't get into it because it's a national a government number. And I got it from General Quesada, and you're nice to the people. They won't take any passes or anything, but they give you the information.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to work your way in. If I was a heel, that they'd hang up and get the hell out. So, well, listen, I got to run.
Okay, John, let me ask you one couple quick questions. First, before I send this to the magazine, do you want to see a copy of it?
Yeah.
Okay, I will. It's probably going to take me the better part of a week to get it typed up because I still have to work for a living.
Well, I know you do, but I'll tell you why. Some of that stuff you can cut, or I can take it to reject for you, okay?
Oh, that's why I want you to read it. Now, I know pretty much what to put in, what not to put in, but I feel so much better if the subject reads it first.
Right. I appreciate that because I'll tell you that. You know, there's a lot of guys we look at, and the next thing you know, if they see that in the magazine, and all of a sudden these damn guys on this end are going to bombard the hell out of me.
Oh, sure, sure. And I don't want to, first of all, I don't want you to be quoted as saying anything that you think over and don't want to say, and I don't want to offend anybody. Heck, I just don't want to do it. So I will, sometime in the next, 10 days or 2 weeks, you'll get a copy of the manuscript.
Okay,
and then
send it to home.
Okay. Yes, sir. And I'll wait to hear from you before I send it to the magazine. And secondly, when the magazine does print this, do you want some copies of it?
Sure, why not?
Okay, how many copies would you like?
That's about maybe a half a dozen.
Sure, that'd be fine.
Let's see, 1, 2, 3. Well, about 6 would be enough because I got nephews and nieces that they're keeping up on it.
Okay, of course, if you need more later, we can always get you more, too. It's usually about 6 months from the time I send it in until it's printed, so it'll be sometime this fall or winter.
Okay.
Okay, John, thank you for your time. I really do appreciate it. This has been very enjoyable.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Monday, 3:17 p.m.